Good morning. How many of you very often will go to your table without food? Okay, so three of you. Very good. I got a problem this morning, okay? There are cookies that were brought that are supposed to be eaten like after the service, but after the service there's a potluck, and we don't want to spoil your brunch slash lunch, so is anybody willing to just walk around and hand out those cookies that are over there? Okay, I got three people who are willing. Yeah, I was going to dismiss everybody, but then I thought, well, that would just not go well. They might not come back. So they're going to hand out cookies, make sure there's none left over. Did Deb, who made those this morning? Somebody made them. Whoever made them, thank you. All right. So take cookies, eat them, and I fully believe that you will be able to eat lunch as well. You know why? Because you can put any, that's the right one. You can do anything you put your mind to. Eat three cookies, and then you still have lunch. Amen. Somebody in the front row says, I see that hand. You guys okay if I sit today? Okay, good. Yeah, you can do anything you put your mind to. My name's James. I am on staff here at this church, and apparently if I put my mind to it, I'll be able to get through a sermon this morning. You ever heard that phrase? You can do anything you put your mind to? You believe it?
No.
You say no in the back? Okay, so some people said yes, some people said no. Say again? Philippians 4, busting out the Bible verses. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. I want to fly without an airplane. But wait, come on now. Just because we're around tables and chairs, y'all get a little bit lippy with me. If Tony Stark can do it, so can I. I knew at least five people would get that one. I read a stat that said, I was looking at, you know, how many, what's it take to run a marathon? And the stat said it's 90% mental, 10% physical. I've run a few marathons. I wouldn't quite go 90-10, but there is a big portion of it that's mental. That's part of your mind. Okay, so if I said I want to run from here to Seattle without stopping, could I do it? Oh, be kind. You in my current condition, probably not. Look at you. I love this. We're taught to like not talk with our mouth full. Everybody's got cookies and they're talking. It's great. There's a guy by the name of Dean Karnazé who ran 350 miles in 2005 without stopping. Put his mind to it. This is so much fun today. If you're a guest with us this morning, we don't normally sit around tables. I'm going to say we don't normally talk back and forth, but we do that quite a bit. So really as a church family here. I want to memorize the entire Bible cover to cover. Actually, I started just wanting to memorize James, and I got through the first couple of chapters, and then I forgot them. Say again? Time and study, I could do it. There's a guy by the name of Tertullian who lived about 1,900 years ago. It was reported that he could do it. A guy by the name of Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century apparently did it. A guy by the name of Martin Luther, the German theologian, had most of the Bible memorized. You guys recognize the name Noah Webster from Webster's Dictionary? It's rumored that he had the entire Bible memorized. It was never confirmed, but rumored. There's a guy in the early 1900s named Dr. William Evans, who is said to have memorized the entire Bible in the King James Version and the New Testament in the American Standard Version. That one didn't get as many oohs and ahs. The guy by the name of Kim Peek, he's a modern day mega savant who has a near perfect memory. Memory retention is said to have had the Bible memorized. They never tested him on it. He passed away in 2009, so it can't be confirmed. But if I want to memorize the entire Bible, apparently it's doable. You can do anything you put your mind to. Jesus was asked by a person who memorized a ton of scripture, a religious leader, what the most important commandment was. And there was a lot of commandments, like 613. So, you know, I'm wondering if Jesus is like flipping through the Rolodex of his mind, like, that one. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 says this. One of the teachers of religious law, someone who probably would have had the entire Old Testament memorized, was standing there listening to the debates, and he realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we get to be around tables this morning. Thank you that we get to break sugary bread together. Thank you that we get to worship and that we get to come before you and learn. Lord, I pray that this would be a transformative morning for somebody. Speak directly to somebody's heart today, even if it's just one. We look forward to our time to chat, to eat, to learn, to love, to laugh together. That we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got a Bible and you want to turn or tap to it, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. That'll be the kind of the home text for today. I'll mention it another time or two. We're going to be in a lot of other texts today, all of which are on the little sermon notes outline on the table in front of you. Grab one of those if you want. No pressure. It's a challenge by choice, right? Grab one and fill it out as we go along. If you fill it out, we'll give you a potluck afterwards. And if you don't fill it out, we'll give you a potluck afterwards, okay? We're in week 3 of a 4-week sermon series where we're looking at the idea of wholeness, and we're camped out in the Jewish prayer, the most important Jewish prayer called the Shema. God had told Moses to tell the people this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So Moses said it to the people. And then later, Jesus said it to the people. Must be pretty important, don't you think? I mean, if you don't really subscribe to Moses and Jesus, what if one of our friends told us to do that? I got to videotape Randy. Some of you have seen this. In December of this past year, I asked him, hey, if you could give us an encouragement, a challenge, what would it be? And here's what he said. It is profound. We're going to try again, maybe? Maybe not. Well, Randy quoted the Shema there. Without knowing, we'd be studying this. You guys want to give it one more shot? No? We might come back to it at the very end. Okay. He quoted it as well. So if you're not really keen on Moses, you're not really keen on Jesus, listen to Randy once we get that figured out how to play that. Sound good? Week 3. In the first sermon, we talked about how to love your Lord your God with all your heart. Anybody want to summarize what that meant? All of us. Okay? Last week, Trevor came, sat on a stool, talked really slowly. I loved it. It was very purposeful if you didn't catch that it was purposeful. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Anyone want to summarize that? Basically all of us. And today we look at mind. This is not in the original Moses didn't say this back in Deuteronomy, but Jesus added it in the words in red. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. How do we love the Lord our God with all our mind? The question I was wrestling with, and I did what every youth these days do, and I asked the Google machine. I said, hey, AI, artificial intelligence, that is what that stands for, right? Okay, thank you. I said, how do you love the Lord your God with all your mind? And it actually gave me a really good answer. It said, to love God with all your mind means to actively engage your intellect in understanding and revering him, seeking to know his character and will, and using your mind to serve him and obey his teachings. That's not bad for artificial intelligence. Wow, okay, somebody repeat back to me just what I said. Oh, love God with all your mind means to actively engage your intellect, your understanding, revering him, seeking to know his character and will, and using your mind to serve him today and obey his commandments. We get that in theory, but let's be honest, after corned beef and cabbage, we're not going to remember that when we leave, right? So instead, we're going to do an acronym, which is on your little sermon notes, and maybe you'll remember one of the four letters, M-I-N-D. Maybe you won't remember any of it, but if nothing else, it'll be fun this morning. All right, so let's start with the letter M. How do you love the Lord your God with all your mind? It takes mental focus. Mental focus. How many of your minds wander? Okay, keep those hands up. How many of your minds are wandering now? I got two hands back there. Rick's like, I'm in. What if part of loving God with all of our mind included doing all we could to keep him, his ways, his kingdom in our thoughts? You know, the Apostle Paul told the church in Colossae this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Paul told the church in Rome this, do not conform, this is I think what Elena read this morning, right? Yeah. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So all you got to do is tell your mind only think about the things of God, and that's what will happen, right? How many of your minds wander? What did he say? I mean, your mind's wandering now. It's not that easy to just tell your mind, okay, only think about the things of God. But part of loving God with all our mind is taking that mental focus. I actually like how the New Living Translation translates that same verse, Romans 12, verse 2. It's going to come out of my Bible in 1 second. Basically, it talked about God doing the work. Let God transform the way you think. So not let us work really, 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 really hard to do it, but let God transform the way you think. And Paul was actually just reiterating something that he had done earlier, that he'd written earlier in that letter, Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's a God thing. It's a spirit thing. Yes, we have to take part in it, but it ultimately comes from the Holy Spirit's help. All right, mental focus. I just gave you the answer. What's the M stand for?
Mental focus.
Sweet. All right, now we're all here. What's the M stand for? Some of you guys are like, just let me eat more cookies. Let's go to the I then. Intellectual curiosity. If you don't know how to spell that, look at your neighbor. If they don't know how to spell it, that's fine. Nobody's going to test you on it. We'll still give you the potluck afterwards. Intellectual curiosity. It's just a fancy way of saying ask questions. I got a friend, I've mentioned him many times before, the most devout atheist I know, love him like a brother, love his family. He tells me that as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, I've checked my brain at the door. It's actually a book with a similar title like that. I think it's like, Don't Check Your Brains at the Door. But there are some people who think that if you're following Christ, it means you stop thinking. You stop asking questions. You say, everything's just faith, just blind faith. And yet, this is full of people who asked questions. Full of it. Moses, the same guy who God said, tell the people to tell them, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. At one point, he's wandering around the desert with a bunch of people, and he asked a very fair question. Moses said to the Lord, why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? Fair question. Moses didn't mind asking questions. Habakkuk, the prophet, asked many questions about why there's so much injustice and evil in the world. Job asked questions about why he was going through so much suffering. A guy by the name of King David asked questions. Wow, we got Moses asking questions, Job asking questions, King David. These are like the bigwigs in here. Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Oh, Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide when I'm in trouble? He didn't just be like, all right, well, I guess it's going to work out. No, he says, God, where are you? He was curious. The disciples also asked a fair amount of questions. Thankfully, not all of them were written down. Some of them were. Jesus and the disciples came across a blind man, and the disciples said, Rabbi, why was this man born blind? What was it? Was it his own sins or his parents' sins? They were asking a legitimate question. This guy named Jesus, who we follow, in a Sermon on the Mount once said when teaching on prayer, ask. Which in the Greek means ask. It actually means keep asking. So if Jesus says it, must give us permission to do that. Jesus' half-brother James also said that if you want wisdom, this is James chapter 1, verse 12, if you want wisdom, if you need wisdom, ask our generous Lord and he'll give it to you. Intellectual curiosity. Man, if you have a question, ask God. If you have a question, ask somebody else. Okay, in fact, here's what we're going to do. At some point in your life, you've thought to yourself, I'm going to ask God about that when I get to heaven. What's that question you're thinking about right now? Don't say it out loud yet. All right, now say it around your table. Tell somebody around your table what that one question you want to ask God is when you get to heaven. Ready, set, go. And here you guys thought you were going to get out of talking to each other when you're sitting around the tables. All right, did you get your questions answered? No? You got them asked. Keep asking. Intellectual curiosity, okay? The M stands for what? The I stands for what? That's right, we put them on the board to make this easy. Let's go with the N. The N stands for noesis. Yeah, huh? What? Noesis. Let me spell it for you. N-O-E-S-I-S. Noesis. Anybody know what that means? Yeah, I didn't either. Okay? But I wanted to use the word knowledge, but knowledge starts with a K. So again, I did what every young kid does, and I asked the Google machine, what's a word that starts with N that means knowledge? It took a few searches. I should have just gone here, okay? Realistically, I should have just gone here, because in the Greek, when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, the word for mind is dianoesis. Oh. Dianoesis is the Greek verb, primarily denotes the act of perceiving with the mind, understanding, or considering something thoughtfully. It's a cognitive process of discerning or comprehending, often implying deeper insight or reflection beyond mere surface observation. That's a mouthful. We should have just said it like Plato says it. Plato says noesis is the highest form of knowledge, the knowledge of eternal forms. Knowledge of God. Part of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind is seeking the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul wrote a few times about this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he said this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in knowledge of him. Knowledge of God. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. Paul said it twice. Maybe we listen. He said it three times to the church in Colossae. He said this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the, say it with me, knowledge of God. I've had a few people tell me they don't like the Apostle Paul, which is fine. Okay, I'm good with that. So one of Jesus' best friends wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Knowledge, seeking the things of God, trying to understand him, is the word noesis. If you remember that next week, Kyle will give you some candy from my candy drawer. I'll have to restock it by then.
All right. Come see me after service.
Next week.
Oh, next week.
Next week. Yep. Okay. Let's review. Mental focus. Let's review, okay? What does the M stand for? What does the I stand for? What does the N stand for? Noesis, which comes from the Greek meaning the pursuit of the knowledge of high things. And now the D. The D, I would say, is determination. Or if you like dedication, you can write that one. That's fine too, but it'll be different than what's on the screen. Determination. I guess I'm kind of going back to you can do anything you put your mind to, in a sense. Determination is the will to do. The call to action. It's putting forth the effort into what? Following the way of Jesus. It's actually making the choice that I'm going to work hard following the way of Jesus. I'm purposely not saying you need to obey the rules, because that makes us bristle a bit, but it's essentially that. It's obedience. Part of loving God with our mind is choosing to do what Jesus tells us to do. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Chapter 15, verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. All right, Matthew chapter 7, again, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, but anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand, does not determine in their minds to do it. Last thing Jesus said before he went up to heaven, God's given me all authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you to. Teaching them to dedicate themselves to following the way of Jesus. Teaching them to be determined to follow the way of Jesus. Determination. Did your mom ever bake fresh cookies, put them on the stove, and then tell you don't touch them? She goes outside and like takes the laundry off the line. I'm dating myself. For those who didn't know, we used to have to hang our laundry. You guys might still do that. Anybody like that happened? Did you listen until she came back in? Sometimes. Thank you. Mom, if you are watching, I ate the cookie. Okay? Determination is setting our minds to follow the way of Jesus. So what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your mind? How about this? Read them with me. It means mental focus, intellectual curiosity, noesis, and determination. All right. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back to the front. While they're walking to the front, turn to your table and tell them which letter. You don't even have to say the words on it, M, I, N, or D. If you don't remember it, look down at your paper because hopefully you wrote it down. Tell them around the table which one is hardest for you. Okay? Ready, set, go. I want to thank Dorothy Ross for bringing the corned beef and the cabbage. This is a... She looks forward to this potluck every single year, and I look forward to her looking forward to it every single year. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have Randy kick off our service next week. So, don't forget...
The one that I would just...
Oh, here we go.
Would definitely give us trust in God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul.
You're dismissed.